grader is broken down, probably. Well, it's terminally broken down.
Haynes is without an important piece of snow removal equipment. The Southeast Alaska Integrated Plan was released in Juneau, and the Don Hather Memorial Basketball Tournament started in Skagway. I'm Adam Richard. This news and more up next. In Haynes, it has been a heavy snow winter, and residents might be feeling like the winter is closing in on them. But that's not all in their heads. The borough's largest piece of snow removal equipment, their road grader, is out of service and most likely beyond repair. And as a result, some of the roads in town are slowly getting more and more narrow. Brian Lemke, Haynes Public Facilities Director, had this to say about the broken piece of equipment.
Our grader is broken down, probably. Well, it's terminally broken down. As I understand it, the main hydraulic pump kind of self-digested itself, or exploded, or imploded, or however you want to put it, and filled the entire hydraulic system and all the valves and everything with metal shavings and that sort of thing. And it's pretty clear after looking at it that the cost of repair is, exceeds the value of that loader. I believe it's a 1980 loader that the borough has had since the early 90s, and it's a problem. It's a serious problem, actually, that we can't tend to the roads as well as we'd like to right now. We're doing all we can. We have rented equipment. I'm reaching out all over the Yukon and Southeast and Seattle and everything, trying to find a grader with the snow blade on it that we can rent, and haven't had a lot of success yet, but we're still looking. The state's actually helping us out a little bit, or trying to help us out getting a replacement, and that's about where we are right now.
With such an important piece of machinery being broken and no relief from the snows in sight, what can residents of Haynes expect from future snow removal?
Well, we can't really replace it. The grader with the snow blade moves snow about three times as much snow and about three times as fast as just the conventional loader does. And so we just can't fill that spot easily. So we've rented another loader, and we have extra guys working, and we're just going to do what we can.
Slower snow removal might make life a little harder for residents, as no grader results in more berms to be shoveled and slower going to and from work and other places. When can residents expect to see a new grader, and what can they do in the meantime?
We'll be looking at getting a newer replacement grader, when we can. But in the immediate, we're going to be suffering a little bit, and it's a bad year to be doing that. The public has been very patient this year so far, anyway, and I know there's a lot of issues with berms and that sort of thing, and this isn't going to help any of that. But if I could ask everybody to continue being patient, or as patient as they can, realize that we're in a heavy snow year in Alaska, and also be mindful of leaving cars out on the streets when they are plowing early in the morning and at night, because that only adds to the time it takes to clear a road to go around a car that's parked in the roadway. So that's becoming an issue, or has been an issue, but it's going to be more important now.
It may be a while before the borough can replace its prized winter snow equipment. In mornings, it may be a good idea to give yourself a bit more time to get to work and factor in any shoveling time to rid your drive of berms. In the meantime, know that the borough says it's doing all it can to remedy the situation, and stay safe in your vehicles.
Southeast leaders should stop trying to build a region-wide power grid. Instead, they should focus on saving energy and developing wood-powered heating plants. Those are among the recommendations from an in-depth study of the region's energy issues. The draft Southeast Alaska Integrated Resource Plan was unveiled Thursday during an advisory group meeting at Juneau's Baranoff Hotel. The Alaska Energy Authority plan recommends completing two power lines that already have some funding. One would link Cake to Petersburg, and the other would connect Metlakatla to Ketchikan. But consultant Kevin Harper says a region-wide grid is just too expensive.
Largely combination of the high cost of building transmission and the very low loads in the region make the cost of transmission uneconomic.
The plan also says a line across the border to Canada is not worth building. It says reduced power use through energy efficiency and lowering peak time demands is a better way to lower electrical costs without building too many expensive projects. AEA's Jim Strandberg says that includes reversing the growing use of electricity to heat homes and businesses.
That is really, in a rather unexpected fashion, I think, caused their loads to go high, and they've consumed what they thought in many cases was adequate hydro capacity.
The energy plan recommends continued work on 5 hydro projects. They're Angoon's Thayer Lake, Heideberg's Reynolds Creek, Ketchikan's Whitman Lake, Hoonah's Gartina Falls, and expansion of Sitka's Blue Lake. It calls for a more detailed study and comparison of several other projects before they move ahead. Advisory Board Chairman Rick Harris says wood-powered biomass energy should also be part of local power solutions.
New technologies in some areas, tidal, wave action may be a viable alternative in the future, but we just see that that's one that's proven, well-developed, the technology is well-developed, and so we think that it has an important role to the region.
Harris is Executive Vice President of Sea Alaska. The regional native corporation uses a wood pellet boiler to heat its Juneau headquarters and is trying to build a regional wood heat industry. The advisory board will seek public comments before it finalizes the plan. More information later on the local implications of this document. In the meantime, the 3-volume lengthy document is available through the Alaska Energy Authority's website, akenergyauthority.org. Look for the Southeast Alaska Integrated Resource Plan link.
The Haines Public Library will be shutting its doors early 3 nights a week. In summer months, the library is a hub of local activity, but as the snow piled up and the light dwindled, so did the patrons visiting the library.
It's just a temporary measure through January and February. We keep statistics on usage, and we were just finding that between 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock in the winter, dark winter months, that not many people came to the library. It seems people want to go home and snuggle in at home, and so there haven't been many people here as we've kept track of statistics.
That was Barbara Blood, administrative assistant at Haines Public Library. With evening patronage so slow, there were a few reasons for making the decision to close early.
We'd like to save some on utilities. We're going to be able to turn the lights off at 7 instead of 9 on just 3 nights a week. And we just felt it was a better use of our volunteers. You know, we use volunteers to keep the library open from 5 to 9 on Monday through Thursday. And it just didn't seem really fair to a volunteer to come from 7 to 9 and there'd be maybe nobody or maybe one person.
The library is often used as a local conference room of sorts by various boards, committees, and nonprofits in the evenings. So where does the new hours leave those who utilize it in this fashion?
So I want to make sure people realize that we are open Thursday, so if anybody wants to have a special meeting, and the only time that they want to do it is in the evening and not, you know, before 7. Some people, they have meetings from 7 to 8:30 or whatever, that Thursday night's a really good night to do that, to reserve the conference room for Thursday nights. And then our hours on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are the same. So it's just Monday through Wednesday that we're closing at 7 instead of 9 o'clock.
The shortened hours are only temporary. The Haines Library will return to its regular hours on March 1st, when it is believed that more light and better weather will bring more patrons out of their homes and into the library. Thursday marked the beginning of the Don Hather Memorial Basketball Tournament in Skagway. Here is Skagway reporter Misty Wiley with more on the action.
The hometown Skagway Panthers teams played the Vanier Crusaders yesterday at the Don Hather Memorial Tournament. The boys' team played first. Coach Mark Jennings comments on the team.
I mean, they're missing a few of their teammates right now, so it's got them kind of in a little funk. But, you know, once we get those guys back and get everything on track again.
His main goal for the team this year is,
you know, just to get them to play hard. That's all.
Several points were put on the board. But the boys lost the game 50-31. Mark is pulling double duty this year, coaching both the boys and the girls teams. The girls played after the boys. They scored often and won the game 48-30. When asked how the tournament has changed since Don Hather's passing, Mark had this to say.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny to not have him sitting there in the chair. And rooting us on, he's always a big motivator for the kids and things like that. You know, but his memory lives on, so that's a good thing. So,
reporting in Skagway for KHNS, it's Misty Wiley.
The tournament continues through the weekend. KHNS will have the results and more on the action in Monday's newscast. Despite the weather conditions, a helicopter was seen at the Rapinski Tower site, and subsequently, service has been restored to AT&T customers, which comes as a relief for many who do not have landlines or internet capabilities and rely on their cell phones as their only form of communication. AT&T customers were without service for more than 3 days. In a similar service outage in Southern California, AT&T was providing compensation to customers on a case-by-case basis. If you would like more information, you can reach AT&T customer service at 1-800-331-0500. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld, Tara Bicknell, and Misty Wiley for help with this newscast. Reporting for KHNS, I'm Adam Richard.